Hello, all you 1980s babies out there. It is your host with the most, Benjamin Dutil, with the Horror Heathen YouTube channel and the South Jersey Horror Podcast. Today, we are doing a little 1980s rewind in this episode, a very special episode. I am going to be talking to Miss Laura Albert, who plays Wendy Barnes in the H.P. Lovecraft movie, The Unnameable. So let's take a little walk down memory lane about this movie. Essentially, it's about college students who check out a haunted house. It's where an ugly monster from the 1800s, I guess, is called the Unnameable and was trapped in a vault. But in my opinion, this is one of the better Lovecraft films. The storyline is quintessential Lovecraft. A scholarly investigator unearths secret blasphemous revelations that only dreaded arcane sorcery from the Necronomicon can release or control. So enough about that stuff. Let's please give a warm welcome to Miss Laura Albert. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine. The honor is a huge honor because I like I said I'm a Lovecraftian nerd, and this is just an awesome moment for me because it's not very often I get to talk to very talented actresses and stunt performers from the 1980s. So this is a great moment for me.
Thank you.
So if you could please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and where it all started for you.
Okay, so it all started back in the early 80s. I worked for the government think tank. I had secret and top secret clearances. And but as much as that was pretty much exciting in that world, my head and my heart, I wanted to model. So I started entering modeling competitions. And one of the modeling competitions, I won five free acting lessons. And I thought, well, why not take these? But in the meantime, I ended up moving to Australia and living there for 9 months. And when I came back to America, I thought, you know what? I may as well take advantage of these acting lessons. They're free. So I went to the Van Maur Academy, and I didn't leave the academy for 2 years. And in that time frame, I finally was able to feel comfortable enough to audition for my first film. And growing up, my mother did not raise us children on Cinderella and Bambi. She raised us on Svengoolie, Creature Feature, Don't Look in the Basement, Last House on the Left. So I was very excited that my very first movie audition was a horror film. And that was the film that I wanted to be in. So I auditioned for the part for my very first film, and I booked the lead.
Well, congratulations. That's a huge step towards an amazing career, such as they have. Lots of names under your belt, lots of good movies that you did stunt performances in, a lot of notable horror movies, Night Stalker, Scream 3, Idle Hands, Virus, which is one of my favorite horror sci-fi movies of all time with Jamie Lee Curtis. I love the movie Virus. Halloween H2O. As you can see behind me, I have all these Michael Myers pictures behind me. I'm a huge Michael Myers fan. Hellraiser Bloodline, another favorite rendition of the Hellraiser franchise of me. That was actually, I love that movie because it gave like a backstory of how the limit configuration, how it all started, how it was made, and then how it progressed all the way up to the current time frame, whatever they do it is. And of course, The Unnameable 2, the sequel to The Unnameable. So,
Yeah.
very impressive resume as a stunt performer. I mean, you've been there, you've seen it all. I mean, part of my friends, but God damn it, this is exciting for me because this is what, as like I said, this is a great opportunity to speak to someone from the 80s, from my childhood. I'm 45, by the way, so I grew up watching 1980s horror films, so it's just fantastic. Off the wall question for you, although you have performed other types of genre movies as a stunt performer, what drew you towards the horror community and the horror genre?
Again, I was raised on it. I was raised on horror. I was raised on Dracula and Boris Karloff and, anything that was creature and slasher. It was back in, when we were very young and my mom didn't have a lot of money. It was, triple features at the Brighton Theater in Chicago, and it was just part of my growing up and part of the fun. So, any time anything horror came along or anything like that, I was immediately attracted to it and feel very fortunate to have been a part of so many of those projects.
So going back a little bit, you said you worked at a government think tank. Is that like something you can't talk about, or can you give those specifics about what that is all
Yeah,
about?
no, I mean, now you can. I had secret and top secret clearances, and I worked for the Advanced Strategic and Technical Warfare Division, a tactical warfare division. I worked with under a vice admiral of the United States Navy, and I was all of maybe 22 years old or 23 when I ended up leaving that, and I had been there for 5.5 years. But in that very exciting world of secretive stuff, I still, I my mind was like, I want a model, and my parents are like, are you crazy? You have a high paying job, and you have security, and you have pension. But I wanted to travel. I wanted a life abroad. I wanted experience. I wanted a different. I saw myself in a different world. So they were mortified when I retired after 5.5 years. Took my pension, bailed to Australia, and started modeling in Australia, and came back to America, and it all began, and my dream began, and the best choice I've ever made in my life was to stay true to the decisions that I knew that I wanted to follow in my heart.
That's excellent. I love it. Such a good story. It's not only is it inspiring, but it's also heartwarming, and it's great. For me, it's the exact opposite. I did a lot of traveling before I decided to sit down and settle down and do my thing. So
But you did it.
I do. My father was in the military. Every 3 years we were moving. So, and then I joined the military and I started moving around a lot. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I can't take this anymore. So I finally decided to settle down in New Jersey, where I pretty much was raised most of my life. And now I work for the federal government, for defense, for the DOD.
That is hilarious. I have many letters from the Department of Defense, thanking me for putting on the nuclear strategy summer study conferences. So we travel in the same circles.
I'm done traveling though. I'm done moving. I'm done. I spent too much money traveling. I mean, Christ's sake. I mean, like when I was in the military, it's like every 4 years I was going somewhere else. I'm like, you know what? I'm done.
Hey,
I
listen, if
did.
I'm not going somewhere every 4 months, I'm not happy.
I gave the military 15 years of my life. I'm done. So anyway, so you portrayed Wendy Barnes in the movie. I'm still trying to figure out, H.P. Lovecraft films are so hard to decipher these days. Even watching the movie 30 times, 40 times, can you describe, or can you like give up a perspective of your character in the movie?
Yeah, I just think that Wendy was a light, free spirit, fun, adventurous girl. And when the college boys came around and wanted to dare us to go into the haunted house, I was game. My little partner over there, the girl Alexandra, who played, I can't remember, oh my God, so many years ago, what her character's name was. But she was like, no, we shouldn't do this. And I'm like, come on, where's, no guts, no glory, which is one of the lines in the movie. And so she's like, okay. So, and in real life, if it paralleled my own life, if somebody had dared me to go into a haunted house, I would go. So, to parlay a part of my personality into Wendy Barnes and wanting to seek this adventure. And then, of course, to snuggle up next to, Carter. In the little room, that was fun too. So again, a part of my personality, I probably would have done the same thing in a haunted house as well. So, I just think it's a bunch of fun loving, daring college kids to check things out. Of course, we had no idea what was laying around the corner.
So learn, kids, don't snuggle in haunted houses, okay? It'll get you in trouble.
You'll end up in just your nightshirt.
So besides about what I said about the movie, the quick synopsis that I gave, what's your take on it? Like, could you give us like a firsthand point of view about the movie, like where it was filmed, what you had to go through, life on set, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, we're talking 30 something years ago, so I don't remember the exact location. I do know that it was shot in around the greater Los Angeles vicinity. For the most part, almost all of it was done on a soundstage. And I just love the beautiful darkness and the creepiness of the sets. And I loved everybody I worked with. I had a really great connection with everybody. We got along really well. Very, very great crew, great cast. It was just, I don't know, and it being my first film ever, it was everything that I thought it would be. You know, it was, I remember the very first scene I shot, and I remember standing there holding the books in my hand, waiting for the director to call action. And I'm thinking in my head, oh my God, this is it. I'm about to do my very first scene. So, and it was light and it was fun. And Wendy was very cheeky with Carter, like, stop following me. I told you to leave me alone. Oh yeah, it wasn't Carter that I had sex with. I think that might have been the other guy. Yeah, it's all coming back to me now. yeah, it was just a lot of fun and a lot of, you know, clearly up my alley because I had no stunt double for any of the rough scenes. I did them all myself. I'm very action oriented. So all the scrapes and cuts and bruises that I got in the film were great. That just went that worked for me. I was happy to do my own thing.
So was that like your indication, like, ooh, scrapes and bruises, I want to be a stunt performer now?
It actually ended up that way. You know, after a few years of being in the business, and there was one movie in particular I did called Blood Games, and it was the first, actually it was a, maybe it had been the second movie I did that I had a stunt double. And as I was watching her be me, do my stuff, I was looking at her going, I want to do that. Like, I want me to be me. I want to do that. And that ended up parlaying me into training martial arts and going to racing school. And I ended up transitioning my career from an actress to an action actress to a full-blown stuntwoman.
Now I'm trying to picture of what who you stood in for all these movies I just named earlier, like Halloween H2O and Species 2. Like, with I don't know, were they like up close shots or like distant shots, but people can't really tell who you were.
Well, no. For the most part, if they know who you are, then they're way too close, or they didn't do a good enough job disguising you. On Species 2, I was doubling Natasha Henstridge in a car driving scene because I do a lot of car driving. In Virus, I was doubling Joanna Pacula, working alongside, Jamie Lee Curtis and her stunt double, Donna Keegan. That was a fun movie to work on. I've doubled for Raquel Welch in Naked Gun 33 and a third, and doubled Raquel again in Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman. I've doubled Jacqueline Bisset in a movie. So, in my opinion, to have doubled Raquel Welch and Jacqueline Bisset, which, as you know, were the iconic women, beautiful sex symbols of the world, the only other sex symbol that I wish I had doubled was Sophia Loren. Then I could say that the greatest, most beautiful, voluptuous, amazing women in the world, I doubled, but I'm still, maybe Sophia will call one day.
So just looking at you right now, just the way your hair is, you look a lot like Carrie Fisher. Just saying. I don't know if you get that a lot, I do, but you have her eyes and her nose. So I think you would have been a great double for Carrie Fisher, any stunt double for her roles. Just saying, maybe that's just coming from me. I don't know if you've ever heard that before from anyone else, but you have her facial features of the same as Carrie Fisher. So you would have been perfect. Maybe all the casting directors, yep, let's get her on the set. Let's go right now.
Hey,
So
you call, I'll come.
While filming The Inevitable, have you had any favorite scenes?
Gosh, it's so hard. The only scene that I think that probably wasn't my favorite when I look back at it that I laugh at now, I was so young and new, and it was my first film, was my fainting scene when I finally escape after seeing, my guy's head ripped off his face or whatever. And I roll over and there's his little head, and I run out screaming, and then I run in the hall and I faint. I was like, oh, Laura, you could have done that one so much better. But not having the experience with what a fainting scene should look like, I was a little rusty on that. But anything that involved being terrified when Elida is coming, coming for us, it did. It put me straight back into my childhood, as if I'm watching these horror films on film, only it's now me. I mean, when it's your first adventure and it's your first film, every scene is special. Everybody is special. Every moment is memorable. I have a friend to this day, whenever he watches the scene where I got my neck broken and you can hear, Elida snapping my neck and killing me, he still suffers from like nightmares from that. He goes, "That just freaked me out." So I'm really glad that breaking my neck has stood out in somebody's mind. It's still embedded and it's still a conversation to this day.
Lifelong trauma of breaking necks. Who'd imagine this?
And what's also fun is Terry Benedict, who was the line producer and first AD on the film. He also went on to become the producer of Hacksaw Ridge, and he and I are still best friends to this day. So, and we recently had the reunion of The Unnamable when we did the 30-year release. So to be with Charles Klostermeyer and Eben Hamm and Mark Parra and Mark Kingsley, all those people, to get together again with everybody and the people, Camille and Chris Biggs, who did the special effects makeup, to be able to reunite after 30 years and all of us still feel as warm and friendly and recall all the fun moments of the film. It's such an honor that we never thought we would ever be a part of this stage down the line. So we're really happy that it's still in people's minds and in their movie genre fun bank.
I mean, why wouldn't it be? It's such a good film. I mean, it's just like if you you'd be surprised like the Lovecraftian fans all over the world. I mean, it's amazing seeing the like the plethora of numbers of how it keeps growing and growing and growing, and so it still has an influence on movies today. I mean,
Yeah.
if you've ever seen Suitable Flesh, Heather Graham and whoever else is in it, Lovecraftian film. I mean, it's great. I mean, like, it's still a huge influence. So, the movie called Glory, I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. And there's no love, it's all cosmic horror. It all takes in a restaurant bath or a restaurant bathroom. It's a funny movie, but there's some Lovecraftian touch to it because the cosmic colors and stuff. And it's a really good movie. I think you would actually enjoy it. Yeah, it's funny how this. With how this movie was almost released on the same time as Reanimator. So it is just, I love it how it all goes hand in hand. It's just fantastic. So, but you've already explained why you switched from being an actress to being to a stunt performer because you have a love for it, which I totally understand. I mean, there's things I switch, I've gone back and forth and doing things on social media. And I'm like, this is what I enjoy doing. I love talking to actors, getting to know them better on a more personal level. And they reach out to me sometimes, say, "Hey, I want to come on your show." I'm like, "Absolutely, let's do it." So, who do I have? Peter Dobson. Have you ever seen the movie The Frighteners? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Frighteners. Peter Dobson plays the overprotective and hysterical boyfriend. He's from New Jersey, so he called me personally, said, "Hey, my agent got your email. He forwarded it to me. He's like, let's do it." I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "I saw the word South Jersey. I'm like, I'm from Jersey. Let's do it." It's like
You know
perfect.
what? I think it's exciting when people still are happy about what they've done and proud of that and want to share that experience and share that with other people who are interested in it. I recently did, it was a couple years ago, I did an interview with somebody from another movie I did, Blood Games, and they asked me, they said, "Did you think that 30 years down the line that you would still be talking about this?" And I was like, "Not at all." Like when I did The Unnamable, nowhere in my mind did I ever think 30 something years later we would be having this conversation. So it's quite an honor and it's fun, and it just makes me feel very proud to have been a part of that, and especially The Unnamable being my very first film. I still have my unnamable movie poster. It still hangs up in my house because, it's the unnamable.
Absolutely, man. I would too if I was if I was in your situation. I'd do the exact same thing. I mean, there's an awesome movie like the it's called Miskatonic You, The Resonator. It's like all of H.P. Lovecraft films wrapped up in one. I was like, that's one of the best movies I've ever seen so far. But nothing tops. So my top H.P. Lovecraft films are of course The Unnamed, Reanimator, Bride of the Reanimator, and I can't think of other ones that come to mind. But it's just great. So, starting from being an actress and up till now, what made you okay? What say what e what stunts were too easy and what stunts were too difficult that may have kicked your ass and then.
Oh, wow. Easy and hard. It sometimes you think that some of the easiest stunts you can actually get really hurt on, and it's a it, and some stunts that you think that in your head that when you go to say action you do it, it's going to be really difficult, and then you're like, oh God, okay, that wasn't that bad. Some of the harder stuff is when you are sometimes if you're on a ratchet and you're being ratcheted into a wall, at that point you're not, you have no control. You're on a ride, and however you hit that wall or however you land is based on, the people pulling the cables behind you, or however they ramp up that stunt. I've gotten racked quite a few times where they have miscalculated where to put the pick points, and instead of bringing me up in the air into the wall, it was on a X-Files, an X-Files thing. I ended up getting slammed down on the back of my neck, and that could have broke my neck. So, sometimes there's these unforeseen things which they call the X factor. If stunts were not dangerous, then actors would be doing their stuff. So we take risk that, that could, essentially people have died. So, you go into a stunt trying to figure out all the worst case scenarios and work backwards. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? How do we prevent that? And, so you do the best you can. When I was on the movie Speed 2, the gag was really simple. However, it didn't go correctly, and people did not factor in how Mother Nature in the big ocean can pick up, how a luxury liner can pick up a boat and push it. And to make a long story short, a cable snapped on the sailboat, and the end of that cable, that silver thing, even though I was swimming away after I jumped off the boat, as I was swimming away, that cable came and found my face and cracked the side of my eye open in the water. I was very lucky that I got very calm and had a presence of mind to give my distress signal, but that landed me on a Learjet to Miami and had my face sewn up, and we didn't see that happening that day. And the stunt was very well thought out and very well planned, but things happen in this business. The easy stuff, I'm also a trained stunt driver, so those are always fun and exciting stuff to do. I've done lots of car commercials. Yeah, I mean, easy stuff's on easy days. At first, when I first started doing stunts, I thought if I didn't come home with a lot of bruises that I didn't do my job well enough. But boy, I learned to welcome those days I didn't come home with bruises, because it's a balance to have your body still intact so you can get up and go to work the next day.
Yep, I know how it feels. I was a carpenter in the army, and I told myself if I didn't cut myself at least once a day, I wasn't doing my job. So,
Right? I
but
understand.
if I didn't get a splinter, I didn't get a nail in my hand, or I didn't cut with a saw, I wasn't doing my job. But aside of all that, are you a fan of H.P. Lovecraft and the influence that it has on cosmic horror?
Am. I mean, I'll be honest with you, prior to doing The Unnamable, I had no idea about H.P. Lovecraft, because I was just off in the modeling world, and I was a swim and gym wear model in Australia, and so my mind was in a completely different place. However, once I got that first film and I began to understand the following of people who loved H.P. Lovecraft, then it opened my eyes to that whole genre, and I was like, wow, he has a huge following and they love him. And anytime that people would speak about The Unnamable or H.P. Lovecraft, I think I was often surprised at the wide range of intellects, so to speak, that were H.P. Lovecraft followers. So that was educational for me to go, oh, I'm really part of something cool.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd like to be a part of something cool like that one of these days. So fingers crossed. And what your resume says it all. You've seen a lot in your career and you're still going, which is fantastic. You have that commitment, you have that level of commitment saying I'm never giving up. And I'm the same way. I'm probably doing podcasts till at least until I'm 90 years old. I have no idea. So it doesn't really matter to me. Because it's something we both enjoy doing. And
Yep.
damn, I mean, I can't fathom the idea of what it's like being a stunt performer. I mean, the stuff that I've done in the military overseas in Afghanistan doesn't compare to what you've done as a stunt performer. So you're up here, I'm like down here somewhere. So.
No, not at all. I mean, I have to say, for a woman, there probably is not a more cooler career. I mean, it might be fun to be a supermodel, it might be fun to be the super famous actress, but they don't have as much fun as I do. I feel very blessed. I feel very lucky. I would not change anything, any decisions I've ever made in my life to bring me to where I am right here, right now, today, speaking with you. I wouldn't change anything. I am, it was all, everything fell into place. I feel like a lesson that I try to share with people is I just said yes to everything. Yep, want to do this? Yep. You want to do it? Yep. And all my yeses brought me to right here, right now. And I am, when I look back, I wouldn't change anything. I feel very blessed and very lucky, and I'm not giving up. People are like,
Is
aren't
it?
you tired yet? And I'm like, no.
So I'm taking that there would be some good advice for someone who's just now starting out as a stunt performer. Just keep saying yes.
Yeah, yes, and train. Keep training and say yes and go for it. I mean, we've heard the adage 100 times, you miss 100% of the chances you don't take. So I took them all.
That's how I feel. I see myself as an opportunist. So if something is presented to me, 99% of the chance I'm going to jump on it. That's just how I am,
Yeah.
and I've always been like that my entire life. And it drives my fiance crazy sometimes, but it happens. So
It's who we
it's
are.
just
It's in our blood.
it's the way the world turns in my universe. I don't know. As we wrap this up, it's been great talking to you, by the way. Are there any upcoming projects or movies that you would like to tell the audience that you're working on?
Yeah, I just finished up 5 years on Magnum PI in Hawaii, and that was so much fun to work on. Of course, nobody ever felt sorry for me because I've been working in Hawaii for 5 years. And was on Hawaii 50 out there. And of course, the strike happened. And then I got called from Hawaii, another show in Hawaii that I'm currently cut casting stunt actors on for Rescue High Surf. That is going to be a new Fox project. So when that starts to air, that's going to be a really, really fun show because all the excitement on the North Shore with the big waves and the lifeguards. It's really good storytelling. The scripts are so easy to read. It's a John Wells project. And if you know John Wells, everything John Wells does t turns to gold. ER, Shameless, West Wing. I mean, he's just so fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to a very successful season with Rescue High Surf. And yeah, so that's what's on the books right now. And again, when that ends, the next project that comes along, I'll be saying yes again.
I can relate to that as well. I lived in Hawaii as a kid for 4 years, and Hawaii is very beautiful, but also very expensive. Just
Very expensive. It's very expensive. So the good news was they're letting me cast all the stunt actors from Los Angeles. So I'm like, oh, good, I get to save some money. Because when I'm in on the island, it's like I'm, it's expensive. So to be able to stay working with all my people and all my old crew from the Magnum and 50 days, which is just last year, and to be able to stay home and have a little bit of, just keeping on. I will just keep, I will quit the business before it quits me. That's the way it'll happen, and I'm not quitting anytime soon.
that, people coming up, good advice from an awesome woman. Okay, just keep your ears open and listen to what she has to say. So it's coming from a seasoned stunt performer, you cannot get this any advice anywhere else. So write this shut down, plug it to your ears, take memo notes everywhere, do what you gotta do to memorize all this crap, okay? Because in the end, it's gonna be worth it. So unfortunately, we're out of time, and this has been a great interview talking to you. I had a lot of fun speaking to you about your role in Enable. And damn it, I wish I could see you in more movies, and but I'll be keeping an eye out for the two shows you just talked about. And I wish you nothing but the best in your career, a prosperous future.
Thank you.
And it's been great talking to you.
You too. Thank you so much for having me on and giving me the opportunity to relive those fun moments and fun memories with my very my the thing that got me started was the unnameable.
Are you kidding me? When you agreed to do this, I was doing cartwheels down my hallway. Just saying. That's a happy.
Well, let's just hope it H.P. Lovecraft will live on.
I have a good feeling that he will. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, new stunt performers everywhere, the beautiful, the talented, and always the great Laura Albert. Thank you so much. And I will see you on the big screen.